So tonight we are on Ecclesiastes chapter 6. It may seem very familiar to you because this is an ongoing theme. Here's the tragedy I've observed under the sun, and it weighs heavily on humanity. God gives a man riches, wealth, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all he desires for himself, but God does not allow him to enjoy them. Instead, a stranger will enjoy them. This is futile and a sickening tragedy. A man may father 100 children and live many years, no matter how long he lives. If he's not satisfied by good things and does not even have a proper burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For he comes in futility, and he goes in darkness, and his name is shrouded in darkness. Though a stillborn child does not see the sun, is not conscious, it has more rest than he. And if he lives 1,000 years twice, but does not experience happiness, do not both go to the same place? All man's labor is for his stomach, yet the appetite is never satisfied. What advantage, then, does the wise man have over the fool? What advantage is there for the poor person who knows how to conduct himself before others? Better what the eyes see than wandering desire. This, too, is futile and a pursuit of the wind. Whatever exists was given its name long ago, and is known what man is, but he's not able to contend with the one stronger than he. For when there are many words, they increase futility. What is the advantage for man? For who knows what is good for man in life in the few days of his futile life that he spends like a shadow? Who can tell man what will happen after him under the sun? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have your word to study. Help us to understand it. Help us to profit from it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we say every week, this was written by someone calling himself the teacher and the son of David. We figure it must be Solomon. Now, Solomon began well, but he ended badly, pretty much because of his wives, and God had already warned him about that, and he didn't listen. Ecclesiastes is his reflection on all of his life at the end of his life. He says that many times a person who has a lot winds up being like a stillborn child. He has much, but he doesn't enjoy it. Now it says God does not allow him to enjoy it. But what he's really talking about is that God has given this to him, but God wants something from him, and he's not getting it. And so he's taken the joy out of this person's life that this that God gave him should have given to him. No matter what, he is not able to use what he gets. He has all of this stuff, but he's not able to get what he wants from it. That's why we had the little question, what is the point of life? Is it to get a bunch of stuff? Well, apparently that doesn't work. So what exactly are we supposed to be doing with our lives? As Solomon says, our miserable lives under the sun. Someone else enjoys what this guy has had after he's gone. Now, it may be somebody completely unrelated, or it may be his children who now get this stuff, but he doesn't get the enjoyment out of it. Somebody else does. So what good is that? Why work so hard and wear yourself out if you're not getting any enjoyment out of it? He's tormented because he has no rest. Says he goes to the same place as the stillborn child in the end. We often hear people talk about, you didn't bring anything in, you can't take anything out. The great joke is this really rich man, and he was whining that, you know, why he couldn't take anything with him. And so they said, okay, you can have one thing you can take with you. So he shows up with his suitcase. And the angels open the suitcase, and it's full of bars of gold. And they look up at him and goes, you brought pavement? It's the whole point. He's lived his life trying to get something. And when he gets there, he finds out that it's trivial. It didn't mean anything, after all. Says he's never happy. Because he always wants just a little more, just a little more.
Yeah.
And it says all labor is for the stomach. Well, from the poor person all the way up, one of the biggest things we're working on is getting food.
Yeah.
If you don't have food, you're in bad shape. We have starvation all over the globe and people who have more than they know what to do with. And we are, for all these millennia, we've never been able to get that together. You know, every now and again, somebody will come along and he'll make sure to take care of the people. One of the things that is always been said is that people don't do anything for people because they can't do anything for everybody. And so they think that's not right. And the story was told, there was this little boy's walking down the beach and he's picking up starfish and slinging them back into the ocean. And this guy comes by and goes, you know there's thousands of these. You'll never get them all back in there. And he said, well, that one, it was important. And so that's the whole point. You don't have to do everything, but you ought to do something. And one thing that will come out, we'll find this, is that you very often get far more enjoyment out of doing things for other people than you do out of doing things for yourself. Half the time, you don't even really know what you want. So what advantage is there in all of these things? A wise man is no better than a fool. He may know stuff. He may be able to figure things out. But having stuff doesn't give him any better joy than somebody who's just nothing. Now, I don't want anybody to think I'm saying this guy's a fool. But we had a guy when I was in high school. Lo, these many years, I guess in 2019 it was 50 years. So we're now up to 52.
Sad schools back then?
But, yeah. I actually graduated in 1969, and we had a wonderful little saying that I won't say now because you don't say stuff like that in church. But, at any rate, you can imagine what they made up out of being 69. But at any rate, this guy was, I guess today the proper terminology is he's mentally challenged. Back there they just called him retarded, whatever. But we don't say that anymore. We try to be very polite. He was the nicest guy you ever wanted to meet in your life. Crazy as the day is long. But he was going to high school with us, and he's doing the best he could do. And I don't think I ever saw him do anything for himself. He just couldn't figure out how many ways there were to do stuff for everybody else. Now, people would say he's a fool, or he's, you know, mentally retarded, or whatever you want to call it. He wasn't very bright. We had a lady at one point, and I gave her a Gideon Testament, she'd go around giving Gideon Testaments out, and she'd say, I don't know much, and I'm not smart, but if you'll read this, it'll help you. Very often, people who have mental challenges are closer to God than we are.
Yeah.
Well, he was. And he was probably the happiest guy I ever saw in my life. And everybody would say, well, he doesn't know any better. Well, maybe that's good that he didn't know any better, because he enjoyed life because he didn't know any better. So what? It says a poor person knows how to get along, but he can't acquire what he needs. All these people that Vicky's helping, many of these people are very smart. They've got all kinds of life skills that many of us don't have. They're living on the street where a lot of us wouldn't make it. We'd be dead in the first week.
Yep.
Right? But they can't acquire the things they need to move to the next level. So we're trying to help them, of course. That's, you know, one of the things. But what advantage is there to have a bunch of money if it didn't make any people happy? You have a lot of people will go out and live on the street because that's where they want to be. That's what makes them happy. I can't understand that, but that's me. So Solomon says, just live with what you have. Just say, okay, this is what my life is like, and I'm just going to take as much enjoyment out of it as I can get, and I'm not going to worry about anybody else. Maybe I'll try to help somebody who doesn't have as much as I do, because that actually usually makes people happy. And then he says, everything is foreordained. He says, everything has been named already. You know, what it came before us, we've already seen. And what comes after us is going to be the same stuff that came before. It's all foreordained. That's just the way it is. It just keeps repeating. You cannot beat God. Now, a lot of people don't want to deal with that concept of trying to beat God, that are trying to beat God and having very limited success at it, I might add. But that's his point. You can't get around what God has for you. You might as well just figure out what he wants and go do it. Talking about it all just increases the futility, because you're sitting here discussing ways to try to do something you ought not be doing. Right? One of the most interesting things about that, this is a little naughty, but it's not, the point of it works out when you see. They have these sites, you probably heard of eHarmony and Match and so on. Those are what you call dating sites. You're going out and dating people. Well, they also have what they call hookup sites, the whole purpose of which is just to get together, do the wild thing, and then go your own ways. Well, this one place, they discovered when they finally went and totally investigated it, there was nobody there. I mean, there were people who were calling in, but all of the lists that you got weren't real people. They were somebody in Europe or something, or Africa or whatever, who were writing fake messages. Nobody ever met anybody. But if you sent messages, which they would try to keep you sending messages, it costs you money to do that. Right. So they're making all of this money, and they're really not doing anything for anybody. That, to me, is the definition of futility,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's also the definition of crookedness, and they're going to take him down and put him in jail for as long as they can find a way to keep him there. But talking about it, which is what they were doing, is all just futility. You're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
And even the sites, those hookup sites that you find, if you get somebody and you go off, yeah, you go off and do naughty stuff, and then you just go up. What'd you get out of it? You're not getting any satisfaction. You don't have a companion. You don't have anything. All the stuff that comes from love and all this stuff, you don't get it. All you're doing is hooking up and going away. Total futility. God knows best, and he knows what's going to happen. And that's the whole thing. We often say that. Oh, God knows. Yeah, he does, actually. He knows what's good for us. He knows what will happen. And we need to just follow him and do what he tells us. So, what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, stuff will not satisfy. You have all the stuff you ever wanted to see, and it will not satisfy you. That's my point that we made before. The one guy, and they said, how much is enough? And he said, just a little more, just a little more. Never got to the end, never got to enough. Nothing was enough, just a little more. Pursuing stuff will torment you. Here you are, busting your back, trying to catch something, and even if you get it, it wasn't what you were hoping it would be. It won't satisfy you. Okay? Wise or rich doesn't help. If you're wise and you know everything, well and good. That's good. But unless you're doing what God wants, it's not going to be any good for you. If you're wise, one would think you would be doing what God wants. If you're rich, then you should be using your riches to help other people because that's what will make you happy. There's this one guy named Luterno. Like I say, he set up everything backwards. He'd keep a tenth of what came in and give nine-tenths to every charity he could think of. Okay? And he was one of the happiest people you ever saw in your life. He was also very successful. God kept saying, okay, if you're going to do that, I got to give you more stuff because, you know, I'm not supposed to be getting all of this. And then he'd give him nine-tenths of whatever else he'd given him. He'd increase and just more and more and more. And he just thought that was wonderful because he could go out and he could give something and help people out. And that's what made him happy. So what is the point of life? The point of life is to serve God. That's what we were created for, is to serve God, to have fellowship with God, and to love God. Now, Adam and Eve screwed up the perfect relationship. We've been spending the rest of our lives and generation after generation trying to find a way to get it squared away, and we can't do it. The only way it could be squared away was for Jesus to come and give his life, die on the cross, and now we're forgiven. And when we die, we get to go be with God in perfection. But here on earth, we're not going to get anywhere with this. We're going to do the best we can do, and the happiest we'll ever be is following God and trying to serve him. That's what we're here for. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us, to go with us, and to help us to find new and better ways to serve you and to enjoy our lives under the sun, loving and having fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.